Exodus 34 in your Bibles and verse number 5. This is the third time we've looked at this same passage where God proclaims His name, Jehovah Elohim, and describes His attributes. Verse 5 of Exodus 34, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation.' Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped." We saw that God, first of all, described Himself as merciful. And God is merciful. That means God has withheld the judgment from us that we rightly deserved. And then God is gracious. God has given us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has given us what we did not deserve, and God has withheld what we did deserve. God is merciful and God is gracious. And we looked at those two things in the last 2 weeks. Today we see that God is long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. God is patient. The word patient and the word long-suffering have similarity, but they don't always mean the same thing. Sometimes there are different Hebrew words or different Greek words in the New Testament that are translated into English, and they may use the same word to describe. It is the context of how it's used in the verse that gives us the understanding of the specifics there. Now, God is long-suffering. God is patient in time and with things and with people. And God expects us to be patient. God expects us to be long-suffering. And that is often a difficult quality for us. God has waited. He has not poured out His wrath upon man. He has been long-suffering with us. He has not been short-tempered with man. James chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible describes that we have a responsibility to be patient. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." We get impatient waiting on the Lord to come. We get impatient when we're in trial or test or difficulty, waiting on the Lord to deliver us from what we're going through. We get impatient looking for Christ to come. Our whole lifetime we've been waiting. We've been looking. We've been taught from the Scripture to expect His coming at any time. And as we see events dealing with the regathering of the nation of Israel in the land and the nations around them rattling their swords, it reminds us to be looking, to be expectant, to be ready for the Lord to come. From the book of Luke to the book of Titus, patience is used 15 times. Strong's Concordance says it is the Greek word hupomone, which means endurance, waiting, enduring in the circumstance is translated patience. Romans 5:5, tribulation worketh patience. Romans 15:5, now the God of patience and consolation. God endures with us. And we are to endure in our service for Him, waiting for Him to come. We're to be patient, waiting on the Lord to come. As a farming illustration, I'm not a farmer by any stretch of the imagination. I grew up in a rural area, and I know something about planting a garden a little bit and stuff like that. I'm not a green thumb person. I found it takes way more work to keep a garden than what I'm willing to put forth. And it doesn't stop. You know, it's from the time it you plant it, before you plant it, the ground, getting the ground ready, then planting, and then all that goes on during the process, the weeding, the waiting, the fertilizer, the rain, the watering, the picking the fruit and all that, and it keeps going all the way to the end. It's a long process. I remember the first garden that Joy and I ever planted. I bought one of those 3-horsepower Mary tillers. Went out in the backyard and tried to plow up ground that had probably never been plowed in 100 years. And it was hard as a rock. You know, that thing just bounced on top of the ground, you know. And I finally got a little bit of ground scratched up, and we planted a few things. And the next morning, I went out there and looked to see if anything came up. Well, it doesn't come up that quick, you know. And every time you turn around, I'm going out there to look at it, you know. It didn't take long at all for grass to grow. We couldn't get grass to grow in the front of the house where the bank went down to the road, but we could sure get it to grow in the back where the garden was planted. No problem at all. And it took months before the vines produced and the leaves came out and the fruit was ready to be picked, or the beans or whatever it was. It takes patience. It takes waiting. It takes a period of time. It takes rains to produce the things that we plant. And the same is true that we are to wait patiently for the coming of the Lord. We're not to expect it in a sense of a demand for Him to come according to our time schedule. We're to expect that God is all-knowing and God knows the day and the hour, and we are to be patient waiting for the coming of the Lord. Twice, patience is used along with long-suffering in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:10, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Paul said, "You've known this about me. You've seen me demonstrate these characteristics. You've known that I've had to be patient and long-suffering with the circumstance of going from place to place and preaching the gospel and being hunted by the Jews who wanted to destroy my life." Colossians 1:11, we saw last week the prayer that he prayed for the believers at Colossae. And for them he prayed they'd be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So enduring with a long temper instead of a short temper. Forbearing, waiting, being patient, enduring with joyfulness is a characteristic that Paul prayed for the believers at Colossae, and it's something that we need, because in our society we are quite often conditioned that we can have what we want and we can have it pretty quick. We're driving down Cherry Road and we feel a little bit of a hunger pain. It's no trouble at all. There's a eating joint on both sides of the road. All you got to have is money. Remember when the kids were little, we'd drive down the road in that old beat-up station wagon we had, and they'd be all the way in the back. And they'd see the McDonald's arches, you know, a mile away. You know, "Can we stop at McDonald's? Can we stop at McDonald's? Can we stop at McDonald's?" "We don't have any money, son." Daughter, whichever one it was, you know. "We don't have any money." "Well, you can write a check." It takes them a while to get the comprehension of that "we don't have any money" thing, you know. We've got to be patient. We've got to be enduring. We've got to have a long temper instead of a short temper. 9 times from the book of James chapter 5 and verse number 11 to the book of Revelation 14:12, patience is used, each time referring to enduring or continuing. But we go back to Matthew, and we find twice in the book of Matthew chapter 18 when the servant asked his Lord to have patience with him until he could pay his debt, there is a different Greek word that is referenced by Strong's Concordance and by Vine's Dictionary that is used in that passage versus the other passages. It is macrothumia. It means long-suffering. It means forbearance, to wait, to be long-tempered. That's used about 9 times and translated patience in the New Testament. There's a couple other Greek words that are translated patience, like a teacher being patient with a student, with a minister not being a brawler, but being patient, which there is defined as being appropriate or gentle. Only used a couple of 3 times in the Old Testaments. It's used along with the word we're looking at today, long-suffering. God is long-suffering to us. 3 times in the Old Testament is paired with mercy. Our text in Exodus 34, In Numbers 14:18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. In the Psalms, it is used paired with mercy. Psalm 86, verse 15, "But Thou, Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." To be long-suffering is not to be short-tempered. Some of us battle that. Some of us have stress and demands in our life, and so we become demanding and stressed out, and we are short-tempered with people. We're not long-suffering to man as God has been long-suffering to us. That is to be a characteristic that we have in our lives, to restrain our anger, to be slow to anger. The original word has a meaning of the flaring of the nostrils. You ever had somebody get so mad at you, their face changes, you know, their countenance. You look at their face and it scares you, they're so mad. Their nose opens up and their eyes get beady and, you know, they grit their teeth and they're angry, you know. Old John Wayne had the meanest look in all the world on Hollywood. You know, them eyes, he dropped them eyes down a little bit, you know, he looked mean. They had him on that movie where he's tracking those people that stole the little girl, you know, the Indians. And he'd grown out old scrubby beard for a few days, you know. And he looked mean one time in that picture with that little scrubby beard. Boy, that kind of scared me. He could look mean. But I knew he was just acting. I've got people mad at me before, they weren't acting. And the flare of the nostrils. The Hebrew words used four times, or two words together. And in the New Testament, about 13 or 14 times, long-suffering is Greek two words, with the root being the same as that translation from Matthew with patience, macrothumia, or macrothumio. Forbearing, patient, long-enduring in temper. So this is a quality of God. It is an attribute of God that He's long-suffering to us. Secondly, we are to be long-suffering with people as a quality of God. It is a fruit of the Spirit that is to be produced through us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." To be long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. God wants to produce in our lives that we are not short-tempered, that we are controlling our anger, that we are long-suffering toward man. And we certainly need to be patient and long-suffering with God. We don't need to get angry with God, and we don't need to be impatient with God. He has certainly been patient with us and long-suffering toward us. Christian character is a reproduction of the attributes of God. We saw Wednesday night, I beg your forgiveness if you were here and remember these things, but repetition is a good reminder for us. We saw Wednesday night that we're to be followers of God, and that word followers in Ephesians 5, verse number 1, is mimetes, which is mimic. A mime mimics things. And we are to be followers of God. We're to be imitators of the Lord, mimicking His life. We say, well, I'm not God, so that's my excuse on why I can't be like Him. Well, certainly God has what are called natural attributes that you and I cannot manufacture. God's sovereignty, that He rules over the universe, you and I can't make that up. We cannot be omnipresent. We can't be in all places at all times. We cannot be omnipotent with all power. We cannot be omniscient with all knowledge. Some of us think that we're smarter than everybody else, but every once in a while we get proven wrong. You know, God is the only one that is all-knowing. And God is immutable. That means He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now these are attributes that are called incommunicable. That means they can't be transferred to you and I. We're unable to produce them through us, these God qualities. But God lives in us by His Spirit, and He can produce through us His moral attributes, and He expects us to yield to His Spirit so He can produce them through us. A willing believer yielded to God can demonstrate holiness. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Righteousness, justice, mercifulness, graciousness, loving, compassionate, and long-suffering. Then meekness and faithfulness and all these attributes of God can be produced through the believer because God lives in us and wants to work through us. When we yield ourselves to Him, He is able to do that. There's a third thing today. When you stop for just a moment, clear your mind of lunch and what you got to do and what's hanging over you and what you're going through. And can you pause for a moment and think about how long-tempered God has been with you? How patient He's been? How He has not poured out wrath upon you in times when it was just that He could have done so? Can you imagine how long-suffering God has been with sinful man? We don't want God to be long-suffering to our enemies, but we sure want God to be long-suffering to our family members and the people we love and our next-door neighbor that we care about and people like that. Can you think for a moment how short-tempered that we have been with God? I remember the illustration about a pastor who was pacing the floor in his house back and forth and back and forth. Finally, the wife said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "I'm in a hurry and God isn't." We're like that sometimes. We're in a hurry when God's not. We're short-tempered. We want God to act now, today, this minute. Deliver us from what we're going through. If you're in pain and suffering severely, there's probably not a person who has been, who has not questioned, "Oh Lord, please deliver me from this pain. Now, I need it now. I need help now, today, this hour." I remember reading of some aged great preachers who experienced awful pain, and one who prayed, "Lord, if I had a son who was in the kind of pain that I'm in, and I had the power to help him, I'd help him." And he said from that day forth, he didn't seem to hurt as bad as he did before. Did that pain draw him closer to an understanding of who God is and how much God loves His children and how much God can help? It probably did. And God used that in his life. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. We see some of the comparison here of the short-temperedness of man and the long-temperedness of God. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." God is long-suffering for our benefit. I was saved on September the 14th, 1975. My wife and I both got saved that morning. And we've been kept by the power of God. People all the time ask me how I'm doing. I tell them, "Better than I deserve." And people say, "Oh, no, you deserve better than what you got." No, I don't. If you knew everything about me that I know about me, you probably wouldn't even sit in this church. If the sheriff knew everything about me that God knows about me, I'd be in the penitentiary today. You see, God has been long-suffering, patient. He waited. I was 25 years old before I got saved. I had blasphemed. I had drank enough alcohol to float a battleship. I had cursed and sworn and done immoral things. God, in His graciousness, has given me eternal life, and in His mercy, He withheld judgment from me. Well, how can God be just and do that? Because He punished Christ on Calvary in my place. Jesus took my sins and your sins and died in our place on Calvary's cross. God has been long-suffering so that we might be saved. We want the Lord to come and deliver us. We want the Lord to come and bring righteousness and holiness to the earth. We're tired of the sin. We're tired of the wickedness and evil. But you see, we want to rush God to do His coming, but His waiting allows people to be saved. So there is a conflict there. God has promised His coming. God has promised His kingdom. God has also promised He will bring judgment upon sin and evil and wickedness. Just as sure as He destroyed the earth with the flood in Noah's day, up here in verse 4 through 7, it talks about scoffers who say, "Where is the promise of His coming?" They say, "Everything's continued as it was since the beginning of the creation." No, it hasn't. They've forgotten about the judgment of Noah's day. And Peter reminds them of it here. He said of this, they're willingly ignorant. They don't want to think about the judgment of God. They want to think about they have plenty of time. This world is evil, Galatians 1:4 says. Psalm 7:11 says God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Isaiah 13, verse 10 and 11, the sun and the moon will be dark, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. It will come to pass, but it will come to pass in God's timing, not mine or yours or anyone else's. It'll happen. A foolish and ignorant man stands in a lightning storm and says, "If there's a God, let Him strike me dead. See, He didn't strike me dead. There is no God." How foolish a man is to think he can exhaust the long suffering of the Savior who punished His Son so that idiot's sins could be forgiven and he could receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. Why has God not come yet? Because He's long-suffering so that you and I could be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He made a way of salvation in Christ so men could be saved. Ezekiel 18, "If the wicked turn from his way and keep all my statutes, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God? And not that he should return from his ways and live." Scripture says, "We are the watchmen God hath set on the tower to sound the trumpet, to warn men of the judgment of God to come, and that life can be given to them through the gospel message of Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection." And we're to sound the message to the world. We know this. We know He's coming. We know judgment is coming. Well, if we know that, then what manner of persons ought we to be in holiness and godliness and how we live? God's not short-tempered. God's long-suffering. His long-suffering has allowed all of us here today to be saved. And if you have not been saved, I urge you, my friend, don't tempt God and test God to see how long you have. Rush to Him and get your sins forgiven and be saved before it's everlastingly too late. One day the trump's going to sound and the Christians are going to heaven.
And it could be too late for you if you don't know Christ. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for being long-suffering with us. You're patient with us. You're long-suffering. You've endured with us. We're so foolish at times and we make bad decisions. We do things we shouldn't do. And then we fail to do everything we ought to do. But you've been merciful and gracious and long-suffering. We praise you for your attributes. Help us by your power to emulate them so that others might be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.